Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host, Teresa Watkins. Thank you for joining us this morning. It is nice and chilly, but it's a comfortable right now. Good morning, Lizzie. Wasn't it comfortable outside?
I walked outside and I was ready for snow flurries. And I'm like, this would be like a good beach day weather feeling.
It would. It's really nice, but it's going to get worse. And so we are seeing, it's going to be a historic week as far as weather goes. And for us, weather-wise, it's not really much we can do about it because we're going to be getting that cold. And a cold front moving in tonight. And then the lowest temperatures are going to be on Sunday night and Monday morning, with Sunday morning being particularly chilly. In North Florida, you guys, we're praying for you. Mm-hmm. Lows are going to be in the teens in Tallahassee, Pensacola.
That's not the feels like, right, either.
Which is worse. South Orlando, Central Florida, you're going to see temperatures stuck in the 40s on Sunday, accompanied by strong winds. And the winds are going to be really, really, really tough.
I think they were supposed to, at least here in Central Florida, they were supposed to start around 3 o'clock-ish.
Yep. So we've got a little bit of time to work on it, and that's what we're going to be doing today. I'm going to be talking about what you can do in your yard, what's going to get damaged, what's not going to get damaged. And so we'll help you. We're going to be taking your gardening questions this first hour and text messages. If you've got a particular plant you're concerned about, just call or let me know by text 23680 1-888-455-2967. And so this is going to be in Miami. Cold snap's going to be the coldest in 15 years. And so what's the record low temperatures in Florida? Well, Florida's all-time record low was recorded in Tallahassee on February 13th, 1899. It occurred during the Great Arctic Outbreak, 2 below 0.
Oh, wow.
2 below 0 in Tallahassee on February 13th, 1899. And 1894, Tallahassee was 15. Fort Myers, you were 28. And January 1981, Tallahassee was 8 degrees. Fort Myers was still 28. January 1982, Tallahassee was 14, Fort Myers 29. And Tallahassee in 1985 was 6 degrees, Fort Myers was 30. And December 1989, Tallahassee was 13 degrees, and Fort Myers was 27. So those are really cold temperatures, and no matter how much we cover up our plants or try to protect them, we're going to see some damage.
Yeah.
In Central Florida, Orlando set the record. It's supposed to get this weekend 25 degrees in Orlando. And the record low was in 1936 at 28 degrees. Melbourne was 24 degrees. And they set a record in 1966. That breaks the record in 1966 of 32 degrees. Sanford, 23 degrees this weekend. 1965, they were 30 degrees. So they're going to break that record. Daytona Beach was 23 degrees this weekend. 1936, going to be 30 degrees. And Leesburg, you guys are going to be 22 degrees approximately right in there. 1979, it was 30 degrees. So cold temperature, sure enough. And it's just going to be relax.
Roll with it, unfortunately, but
we don't get these temperatures often. I'm telling you though, those growers with peaches and apples and pears and all kinds of good fruit, even the figs, they're going to do just fine, and it's really going to help the citrus industry. Not going to be too bad for them. This cold weather does concentrate the sugars in the fruit, makes it sweeter, and I'm just hoping it's not going to be as bad as what they're predicting. So I think I'm hoping that is going to be the case. My clients are calling me, telling me, what can I do? And we're going to be talking about the next hour. Fortunately, we're going to see widespread damage. That's just going to be it. With tropical plants. So it's amazing to me. It's going to happen. But you can help your plants survive. Now, what you can do this morning is to go ahead and turn your sprinklers on. Go ahead or water your plants at the ground with a hose. We don't want these plants to stay wet that long. We don't want them to freeze, but they are going to need moisture to help them get through this. Okay. So if everybody would just go out and make sure their landscape is watered, that's going to be beneficial. And then that'll get them through the next couple of days.
So they basically need to make sure they go out this morning.
This morning and do it.
And do it.
So it dries off and yeah. the wind will, you know, take care of that. I've seen it before, and I posted on our Facebook page, Mike Klukes in Venice. He sent me already the frost on the ground in Venice.
Oof.
And so I posted that on Facebook. Some of the record lows and temperatures that we're going to be seeing, that's on Facebook on betterlawns.com. You can see it. And so, Lizzie, your turkeys, Gerald, got a sweater on?
Yeah, I think some of our listeners, Steve in Union Park says he's looking forward to seeing the turkeys in their jackets from the weekend. And I'm just like,
okay, so. Is the jackets, are they downy lined? Are they feathered?
they're goose feathers. Yes. No, I just, you know, I did a research to remind myself to stop being so freakish about this cold weather, and that they are normal by temperature of 100 degrees. And, well, you know what? They can handle up to negative 18, which we will not be at.
There you go. So what do you want to protect in your landscape? This hour I'm going to be providing you ways to help your landscape. I'm going to discuss fruit trees, palm trees, roses, and vegetables. If you have a specific plant, 1-888-455-2967 or text 23680. If it's Saturday morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. One, if you have questions about your plants, specific type of plant, you can call 1-888-455-2967 or you can text 23680. If you're sleeping luxuriously in your bed with lots of warm blankets, I'm jealous.
But we appreciate it.
Yeah, we do. We do. And we understand. So text 23680 with the name of your plant and the city you live in. That will be helpful. Name of the plant, your name, and the city, and I will be able to help you. So, unfortunately, we're going to see widespread damage in landscape through the state with tropical plants. It's going to happen, but it doesn't have to be so prevalent or so damaging if you can follow some of my tips here. What do you want to protect in your landscape? So let's generally, the hard part is last week we were 80 degrees and this week we're going to be in the teens. That's the hard part, is that we have this fluctuation of, you know, 50 to 60 degree temperature differences, and the plants are just going to be shocked. They're just not going to realize what they're going to be doing. So if your plants are less than 3 months old, and I'm not talking about annuals, I'll talk about annuals in a minute, I'm just talking about if you have a new landscape, and I have clients that have new landscapes that I put in the last month, 6 weeks, and there's going to be some plants that are just not going to survive. Plants that are not healthy in your landscape, have disease issues, are going to be more susceptible to freezing. They're not going to be able to be strong enough to withstand it and come back. Plants that are overwatered, have short root systems, are going to be affected more. And this is what I talk about throughout the whole year, or just in general when we talk about having a healthy landscape. If you have a healthy landscape, we can get through, you know, 2 to 3 days of freezing with minimal damage. So if you still got summer annuals around, blue days, salvias, plants, vegetables from summertime, your tomatoes and eggplants and peppers, they may be damaged if you have them out already. So that's going to be an issue. So you're going to want to protect those with a frost blanket. Put a light underneath it. And when we're talking about lights or Christmas lights, you want to use the old-fashioned incandescent Christmas lights. LED lights are not going to work. They don't emit heat. So you want to use your old-fashioned Christmas lights. That's going to add a couple of more degrees on there of protection. Tropical plants like dracaenas, crotons, peace lilies, Hawaiian ties, hibiscus, cordylines, your angel trumpet trees, your jacarandas, your royal poinsettias are going to see some damage. Now, they should recover, but they may not look good for 2 to 3 months, if that. Okay, so what plants are going to be fine? Your plants that are mature and established, that they're older than 3 months, your deciduous shrubs and trees, okay? Your like your ilex shillings, your native shrubs and trees, your blueberries are going to be just fine. We're talking alocasias and colocasias are tropical, but they come back. They have a bulb system, like root system with rhizomes. And so they are going to be fine. Now, they're not going to look good, but they're not going to die. They're going to recover. Your gingers, your schefflera, blue days even. I just mentioned blue days is going to get knocked back, but it should recover. Lantana, your Dianella's liriope is going to be just fine. Your leopard plants. I am really a big fan of leopard plants. One, the texture of them, the shape of them, they look like John Deere tractor seats, but they're really, really, really attractive. They have a beautiful yellow flower. They grow all the way up into South Carolina, North Carolina, zone 7. They can handle down to a 0 degrees. Those are great plants to have. They look tropical, but they can handle this cold temperature. Your roses are going to be just fine. Your roses are going to be just fine. Your drift roses, your knockouts, your heirloom roses, they can withstand cold to 0 degrees too as well. And it's not going to stay that cold that long. If you look at your hourly temperatures, you're going to see that you're going to be in freezing below 32 degrees for about 6 to 8 hours. So hopefully it's not going to be that long or be that intense. And we have just a break. We just need a break. Okay. So also too, your junipers, your viburnums, your ligustrums, your camellias, they're going to be just fine. Not, you don't even have to cover them. Hydrangeas are going to be okay. They should be dormant right now, but they'll be okay. Your rubber plants, your ficuses, they're going to be just fine. They may get damaged, but the stems and the root system is going to be just fine. Your sansevierias, your wax myrtles, your bromeliads should be just fine, okay? If you're in South Florida and you have those shade plants, your gusmanias, they may need to be covered, but your ones that take full sun, they're going to be just fine. You're going to species in your bromeliads that can handle the temperatures, your acmeas, your dickias, your fascularias, your neoregalias, your puglias, tillandsias, and varese bromeliads are going to be just fine. They can tolerate brief periods of temperatures down to 16 degrees. Most other bromeliads will survive down to 32, but there are a few species that can't tolerate, like I said, below 40 degrees. So some of them will get damaged, some of them will be okay, but they'll recover. Your cannas, your coontis, your cardboard palms, they can handle down to 15 degrees. Now, when I say handle, I mean that they'll recover. They may see damage at 20 and below, but they will recover. So what can you do to help protect your plants? You can water the ground of the plants. Do that this morning. You don't have to, you know, get it where it's icing up. Just go ahead and give them 1 or 2 gallons of water per plant. You can use a hose or a bucket. You don't need to use your sprinkler systems. Then you want to place a frost blanket on them. And you want to get that frost blanket to cover it down to the ground. And you can put rocks or bricks down at the bottom so that it keeps the heat wrapped in around that plant. Okay? If you use sheets and blankets down to the ground, you got to be propped up on sticks, like a teepee, or where the blanket or the sheet is not touching the leaf. If the sheet or material, sheets, bedspreads, quilts, blankets, if they touch the leaves and it freezes, it's not going to be protection at all. You're still going to get as much damage. So you want to create that warm wraparound. And those blankets and sheets need to be removed every day. Whereas your frost blankets, they can stay on for the next week. They'll be just fine.
Now, just quickly, we had a listener text us, Nora from Oviedo. She says, if the frost cloth is already in place, should it be removed to water this morning?
No. You could go ahead and water it just right through it. Just put water down to the ground. The leaves do not need water any time of the year. So go ahead and water it down the ground. You do not need to remove the frost blanket. If you get rain, it'll go right through that frost blanket just fine. So that's a great question. And let's see, Lisa. I don't know where you are, Lisa.
Ponce Inlet.
Okay, thank you. She says, will my Christmas tree palms make it through our freeze here in Ponce Inlet? And we put a lot of tropicals in last spring in a border around our yard. No way I can cover it all. Philodendrons, different varieties of elephant ears, red gingers. Thank you for being here for all of us panicking gardeners.
Me too, girl. I feel you.
So all your plants are going to be just fine. Your Christmas tree may see some frond damage, okay? But we're going to talk about that, you know, in the next hour. And next week, I'm going to be talking about this week. Let the damage happen. Do not cut anything off. Do not prune anything. I'm going to talk in a few minutes about what to do, and I'm not going to be here during the week. So just don't do anything next week till I come back on, okay? Just hold your breath. Keep your fingers crossed. Your alocasias, your philodendrons, they should all be fine. They're going to may see a little damage, a little wilting, but they're going to recover. So you're going to see, hopefully you have a little microclimate there, and it's not going to get as cold in Ponce Inlet as it's saying, but they'll be just fine. They will recover, okay? And you'll see here in Florida, they recover pretty quickly. Okay, so 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. So, well, getting all this bad news, let me give you some good news. There's still a chance for room on my Art and Bloom Garden Tours trips for the Revolutionary Garden Tour and for our Chelsea Flower Show. We have a few more seats left. They're filling up very quickly. And so thinking about that this week, think about getting away to some beautiful gardens and celebrating the 250th anniversary of the United States, and then going to London and England to beautiful, beautiful gardens that we will stroll in and just have a wonderful time. So if you want to see more about our trips, you can go to artandbloomgardentours.com. Let's go to Carrie in Melbourne. Good morning, Carrie. How are you?
Good morning, Teresa. I want to thank you for all your wonderful shows. And I've been a listener for many, many years. I don't call in that often, but you helped me one time with my fig trees, and I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Now I'm calling in regard to, I have a two-year-old, maybe a little older, coconut tree that is doing very well. It's about 5 feet tall, and it has maybe five fronds already fully developed. Mm-hmm. And I love it, and I want to protect it. What can I do?
I'm going to tell you, let's see, you're going to get to 24 degrees today or this weekend?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. It's 5 foot tall. How wide is it at the base?
I would say maybe 10 inches.
You know what I'm going to tell you, Carrie? I'm going to tell you to dig it up, put it in a garbage bag, and put it in your garage.
Really?
Yeah. And then you can replant it next week. Okay. Carrie, hang on. We're going to be right back with you. Angie, we're going to get to you, too. I know you guys at Melbourne are going crazy. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I just want to finish talking to Carrie in Melbourne. You know, you can wrap it with a frost blanket. I don't know if you can get it. I was getting calls by clients who said, you know, we can't find frost blanket anywhere. And this is the problem, Lizzie, is that what we talked about in September, October, this is the time to get your frost blanket.
Yes.
Because when you need it, it's not going to be found. It's going to be sold out. And even Amazon, you know, if you get, you know, products there, there's no way they're shipping from all these snow areas. So you're not going to get it in time.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, if you do have frost blanket, Carrie, you can go ahead and wrap it down to the ground. Let the warm air cover it in between, create that warm air pocket. Or if anyone has a prized tropical plant that they want to save, then they can, if it's small enough, if it's under 6 foot tall, I would dig it up and put it in my garage. And, you know, so that's what I would do. Just put it in a garbage bag around the root base and just leave it there. And it'll be like 30 degrees, 35 degrees in your garage, and it'll be better than 16 degrees. Let's go to Angie in Melbourne. Good morning, Angie. How can I help you?
A few months ago, you talked about some product for sand spurs that would kill the seed.
Yes.
And I have tried every kind of pre-emergent everything. And we have a mango grove, and this stuff gets tracked in, you know, on the tractor tires, you know, on people's feet. You know, whatever.
Yep.
And I got to kill them.
So what? Don't tell me what products you've used. Do you know the chemicals of the products that you've used?
No, honey.
Okay, so there are products that have dimethrin. That's dimethrin, dimethrin, that you can use. Sedge products will work too as well. Sedge, Image will work. Then there's a product called Ike's. Sandspur and crabgrass, that will work. So you're looking for products that will take care. Benefin is going to work too as well. So there's a number of them. Just when you go to the store, look for your pre-emergence and look at the label and make sure sandspur is on there. Okay, and it should work. Here's the issue, is that you want to make sure that you're putting it down before the growth starts. So this week you can put it pre-emergent down. You can also put a post-emergent down in March and April when it's growing, and then bag your clippings, okay? Do not let the seeds go back into the ground. Bag your clippings and throw them away.
Yeah, well, we can't do that. Okay. I mean, this is acreage.
Right. Okay, so where are you? Yeah, you're in Melbourne? Okay, so if you have acreage, then you could, what I would advise you to do is call the, your Brevard County, right? Melbourne's Brevard County or Volusia? Volusia County.
Yeah, Brevard.
Yeah. Oh, you're in Brevard? Okay.
Yeah.
Brevard County Extension Office, contact them on Monday morning, and they will give you the commercial agent for pasture grass and acreage, and they'll be able to give you the product that will work that you can buy just for because you have such large property.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
That
now,
would be
I have
my
another
best bet.
Question.
Yeah, go right ahead.
I have another question. It's a turf question in my yard.
Okay.
In my personal home. We got new sod, I guess, 2 years ago, whatever, but it's gotten, I've forgotten what, because we have a lawn service, long rooter. I don't know, whatever it is, some kind of fungus. And whatever it is, they cannot deal with it. And they told me to get a product called Command.
Right.
And I have put out 12 bags of that.
Okay.
And it is not helping this.
Okay, so I'm confused. Okay, because we've been in a drought for 2 years. And fungus is caused by water. So how often are you watering, Angie?
Twice a week.
Even now?
Well, I mean, it's on a timer. It just goes.
Right. Twice a week watering. For how long are you watering for?
I don't know.
Oh, see,
half
that's
hour.
You're causing your own problem. Okay, so your turf does not need that much water twice a week. One, you're on restrictions, so you shouldn't be able to water but once a week right now. Okay, with the cold temperatures, your yard can go 7 to 10 days without water with these temperatures. Okay. And so just hold back on the watering. What time of the day are you watering at?
Oh, I think it comes on at 3 in the morning.
Okay.
3 or 3:30.
Move it up to 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. Okay, it's not going
to
stay wet
so
that long.
It has time to dry out.
It has time to dry out. If you have it at 3, it's just going to stay wet for longer than 5 hours, and that causes the issue.
Oh.
Okay?
Okay.
So once
all
you...
Right.
Okay, so you're going to cut back to once a week watering. You're going to change your time to 5:30, 6 o'clock, and then I would calibrate your system to make sure you're delivering 1 inch of water a week. Okay, now you may be putting, you're just turning it on for 30 minutes, and you could be putting 2 to 3 inches of water on your lawn. So I don't know how much you're putting on your lawn. So calibrate them. Get some tuna fish cans, set them out in one zone, turn your sprinkler system on, and time how long it takes to put 1 inch of water in those cans. Okay, that's going to tell you how long. You may only need to be watering for 20 minutes. And some areas may be getting too much. Some may not be getting enough. Okay?
Okay.
So,
all right.
All right?
Can somebody text me the chemical that I need to look for in that sand spur stuff? Or should I just call the extension service?
If you're doing acreage. So why I said
well,
to call these.
Probably this section that has the problem is probably only... maybe an acre or two acres.
And the product that you're going to need to buy for that is going to be extremely expensive. So you cannot put, so the homeowner's products, what you can get off the shelf, you're going to have to buy so much of that for that acreage. It's just going to, it's going to cost you $1,000, literally.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so that's why I'm saying call the commercial extension office Monday morning and say, I have acreage. What product can I use that you can buy in bulk and concentrate, and it's not going to be as expensive as buying it off the shelf?
Thank you so much. We love your show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you, Angie, for listening to me. I certainly
do.
Thank you so much. It's just that those products, to buy it, cost $100, $150. And for acreage, that's just going to be wow. So let's get a good product that you can buy that's cheaper, less expensive. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. Rob, hang on. I'm going to get to you. And we have text messages coming in, 23680. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's top five.
My top five this morning are recommendations for taking care of your palms after a freeze. So after a freeze, if you can get up to the top of your palm tree, look at that apical tip right there at the top, and any new emerging spears, gently pull on it. If it's green and sturdy, it will survive. If it's brown and mushy, remove it and clean out the hollow. Number two, apply a liquid copper fungicide. Follow label instructions. You may use it twice at 10-day intervals. Number three, wait a month before pruning your fronds. Okay, the fronds, if you cut off the fronds, then that's going to stress the plant out even more. Just wait, and then in 3 to 4 weeks, you can take off all the brown fronds. Number four, apply an anti-transpiration spray to the foliage to reduce water loss. Wilt Stop by Bonide is a great product. This is going to form a transparent film on the plant's foliage, preserving moisture, and it minimizes water loss. Number five, do not fertilize your plants until you see new growth. So those are my top five tips after a palm freeze. Care for your palm tree. Okay, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Let's go to Rob in Christmas. Good morning, Rob. How can I help?
Good morning. I hope you can help. I've got a very large plumeria that's got to be 10, 12 foot tall and at least that wide, and I know I can't cover it. What do I do? Just cut a bunch of the pieces off so I can plant them later? Can I wrap the base with newspaper? To try to save the trunk.
Okay, so one, you could cut off some of the branches to save, to replant. Okay, that's a good idea. Two, do you have a ladder that has a, that opens up, a double ladder?
Yes, I do.
Okay, what I would do is I would put it around your plumeria or next to your plumeria, and put a blanket or a sheet over it, okay, right, so that it covers it. So if you've got an 8 to 10-foot plumeria, then you can put the ladder there, cover it, let the ladder take the sheet and hold it up. Make sure you cover it down to the ground. And no newspapers needed at the bottom. No, that's not going to help this time. And just okay, hope for the best. I think you'll be okay.
And one other thing, I've got a big tree that's 3 years old. It's very short. Is that going to survive? Should I just cover that too?
What kind of tree? A fig tree?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, it hasn't gone dormant yet. They can go dormant. So is it a brown turkey fig?
Yes.
It'll be just fine.
All right.
Okay?
Thank you. You guys are awesome. I appreciate you.
You're welcome, Rob. Thank you so much. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. So I had someone email me about her banana trees, Maria. And she says, what am I going to do about my bananas on my palm tree? Hmm. And so she sent me three lovely pictures of three huge bananas with a whole hand. Now, a bunch of bananas is called a hand. Mm-hmm. And so these are hanging down from her tree. And you know what? It's time to remove them. She can go ahead and cut off the whole stem and take it inside and let them ripen indoors. So her bananas will be just fine. I wouldn't leave them on the tree. So that's what I told her to do. Bananas can be taken off right now if they've been on longer than 75 to 80 days after it flowers. So let's say it started flowering at the end of November. At the beginning of November, then you could go ahead and take the hand off, and the bananas are far enough along, especially if you can rub off the brown tips, the flower that turns to brown and it kind of just kind of melts away. It's just like garbage at the end. It's burnt. It looks like burnt ends. If you can take that flower off very easily and it just rubs off, then go ahead and cut your bananas down and bring them inside and let them, put them in a cool, shady spot and let them ripen indoors. Okay? And that will be helpful. Thank you, Maria. That was a great question. Also, too, Bill in Ormond Beach, he asked me about whether he should put down milky spore or beneficial nematodes for his lubber grasshoppers and grubs, Japanese beetles and weevils. Well, one, we don't have Japanese beetles here in Florida yet, but there's no real documentation of any kind of population. But I would use the milky spore if you have any kind of beetles or weevils in your yard, for grubs. But there is no pre-chemical, there's no pesticide for lubber grasshoppers in the ground. So you're going to just have to watch and catch them when they hatch, and then you can use an insecticide on them like Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew on them as they hatch. Okay, now when they become adults, there's really only two things that can kill a lubber grasshopper. And that is two rocks, two bricks, okay? And you just got to pound them. You can cut them in half. That's kind of very gratifying once you see them eating your plants. But you get points if you kill your lubber grasshoppers in the road. There you go. You can feel them crunching up. Let's go to Jan in Ocoee. Good morning, Jan. How can I help you?
It's Jim, my bad.
I'm sorry, Jim. I'm sorry. No, that's my eyesight. Hey, Jim, good morning. I'm sorry.
The guy just called in about Plumera. What works really good for me is the insulation you get, the black insulation pipes, the tube things, and they just go on easily, and then you just take them down at the end of the season and put them in a bag, but that works really well.
Jim, that's a great idea. Even those pool noodles. Isn't that pool noodles?
That kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm hoping he's still listening, Rob. So that's a really good idea, Jim, and I should have thought of that. But I'm glad you called in, because taking that insulation piping and covering it with that will be really good.
Right, but my question is, I have a large lychee tree, starfruit tree, and also pink lemon tree. All I know to do is, one, in Korea, I saw all the trees were wrapped around the trunks with rope.
Right.
I don't know if that really helps or not, but they all had done it to all the trees.
What they're doing is they're protecting the graft. Now, lychee tree and starfruit trees aren't grafted, but they're just protecting the graft. And I would just say, if you got frost blanket, that you could use that. But you also want to protect the graft of the lemon tree. I think your lemon tree is going to be just fine.
Too big for frost blankets.
Yeah, it's
you
too
mean
big.
Around the base?
No, no. I mean, not frost blankets. Yeah, you can get enough frost blanket to cover your tree. But if they're that big, I would just protect the graft at the base and cover that up. So take the frost blanket and wrap it around the bottom of the tree, and that's going to help protect the graft in your tree. Your lemon tree should come back from the graft. Now, your starfruit
sprinkler, if I keep water on it.
No, do not do that. Okay, do not do that.
Okay.
You can water it before, but don't do it during the freeze. That doesn't help.
No rope, but put stuff around the grass around the base.
Right. Just put the blankets around the base of the lemon tree. Now, your starfruit and your lychee tree, I don't know if they're going to make it. They're not grafted. And so you may just see them decline a little bit, but hopefully they'll come back.
All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome, Jim. Thank you for the insulation.
Happy Valentine's.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. He said happy Valentine's.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Definitely.
That's a great idea. I should have thought of that. And I have said that in the past, that insulation around your plumeria will work really nice. But you can also take a couple of them.
Yes, definitely.
Like I said, so... let's see in Melbourne here. Good morning. What about azaleas? Ixoras, crotons, succulents, Ohio spiderwort, foxtail fern, variegated scheflera. Everything is in the ground for several years in West Melbourne. So your ixoras may get knocked back a little bit, but they'll recover. Your crotons, they're going to get knocked back, but they'll recover. Your succulents will be just fine. Your Ohio spiderwort is going to be just fine. It's an Ohio spiderwort.
Wow.
Yeah, and a foxtail fern, you're going to see a little bit of damage. Your variegated scheflera, a little bit of damage, but it'll recover too as well. So no worries there. Is it necessary to cover ground cover plants like Mexican heather during the freeze? I would, Ken. I would, because they're going to get knocked back a little bit. Now, it just depends on the size of them. How big are they? If they're less, they're a 1 gallon size, if they're less than 12 inches, they're going to get knocked back pretty severely, but they're not as expensive to replace if you need to replace them. If they're a little bit like a foot tall, a little bit taller, nice and dense, I would cover them. And again, they're going to get knocked back, but they're going to be okay. They will recover too as well. I'm just hoping it's not going to be as bad as it is. We're going to be back with more Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm very excited. We have Kathy Gents coming up, and she is going to be talking to us about the national holiday today. And we're looking forward to talking with Kathy. Stay tuned. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you missed any of the show or you would like to do a recap of any show, you can go to betterlawns.com. That's betterlawns.com. And give us a call around the 8:30 time frame. That's 888-455-2967. 888-455-2967.